Mike Tibbin. Hello, beloved, and welcome again to a few moments of Bible study together from the truths of the eternal God. We've been talking about who am I. As a child of God, we've been talking about how that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior through putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, believing that He died for our sin, that He was buried, that He arose again the third day, according to the Scripture. We're talking about the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that bread of God that came down from heaven to give life, spiritual, eternal life, to all who would put their faith and trust in Him and accept Him as Savior. How that He alone can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. How that He alone can fill one's life to overflowing and make life to have purpose and reason for living. And so we've been talking about how wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to know Him personally, to be able to talk to Him personally. And that's the privilege that every child of God has through prayer, to go right to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, to communicate with Him, to talk with Him, and to watch the Lord God work in our life. And beloved, He is Almighty God, and it is wonderful to see the wonderful things that He's able to do within an individual's life. How wonderful to know Him, the true and the living God. Well, today, as we're thinking about the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, how that when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who does the work of salvation within our spirit, remember? John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 reminds us, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ's. And so we see we're not our own, we're God's property. We belong to Him. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin, beloved. We were in bondage and slaves to sin until we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior. And He redeemed us. The word redeemed means He brought us back into fellowship with God. We were away from God, dead in trespasses and in sin, but He paid the price to bring us out of the slave market of sin, to make us His slaves. And beloved, doulos, in the King James, many times the word doulos is translated servant, when it should be translated slave, because we as believers are slaves. That's the meaning of the Greek word doulos, from which servant often is translated. It means a slave. We are Christ's property. We belong to Him, as we saw there in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We're not our own. We're bought with price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're God's property, beloved. We belong to Him. We're not our own anymore. We belong to the Lord God, and how wonderful to be His and belong to Him. And beloved, the Lord God is not a hard taskmaster. Oh no, but what a privilege to serve Him, to live for Him, to obey Him, and to do His will and His bidding. And then the Holy Spirit of God grants the believer spiritual gifts. spiritual gifts, that is, spiritual helps in ways that we can serve the Lord God more effectively. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you can get your Bible and turn with us there, we want to look at a few of these spiritual gifts that are ours as children of God. And he tells us here, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth here, where there was much idolatry and much ungodliness, and many people were involved in idolatry and worshiping idols until they came to know Jesus Christ and were liberated and were set free. And not only are their idols made out of gold and silver and wood, but, beloved, there can be idols set up in our own heart, such as the idol of money. Many people worship money. That's their god. Our pride. Many people are filled with pride, and that's their god. There's many kinds of idols that we can have in our lives. And so the Lord says, "You were Gentiles," meaning unbelievers, not Jews, but Gentiles who did not know about God and were away from God, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led by Satan and the demons of Satan, which are the power behind idols to enslave people. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God who does the work of salvation within our spirit, drawing us into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we call Jesus Lord. That is, that we make Him Lord of our life, that we understand. And, oh, beloved, how important it is for the believer to understand who they are in Christ. And that's our basic subject that we're talking about, learning who we are in Christ, learning our true identity. There are so many believers that really do not know what it means to be a child of God and do not fully understand who they are in Christ. And that's why we're talking about this subject, who am I? As a child of God, we are truly joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And our life is transformed and changed, as 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, tells us over in the book of Corinthians. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so, beloved, learning who we are and understanding who we are and growing in the knowledge of who we are in Christ will enable us to live victoriously to the honor and glory and praise of the Lord. And so, by the Holy Ghost, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. There are numerous different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that gives different gifts to children of God to enable them to serve the Lord in some specific way that will bring glory to the Lord God. Now remember, verse 12 here, if you'll just glance over there, we read, "For the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized or immersed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond," that is, in slavery, in the days of the Roman Empire there was much slavery, are free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. You see, beloved, in the local church, there are different gifts given to believers to serve the Lord in different capacities. And each one of us have a unique place in serving the Lord. That's why every believer is important. Every believer is essential to the carrying on of the work of the Lord. And so we see back over here in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, different spiritual gifts that are given to believers. Do you know what your spiritual gift is, beloved? This is part of understanding your identity and who you are as a child of God. There's the same Spirit, though there are diversities of gifts. It's through the Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Now, administration. This word administration means to manage, to oversee. There are different ones who are given the gift of overseeing a ministry, overseeing a work. We call them pastors. Some might call them bishops, sometimes in the Scripture referred to as bishops. And today we think of them as pastors. One who leads a church, one who oversees the work of the Lord, one who manages and is the administrator of the work of the Lord. Now, Moses was a man like that who was empowered by God. You recall, if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 7 it is, Acts chapter 7, we'll just briefly be reminded about Moses and the ministry that he had and how he administered in overseeing and directing the nation of Israel. And it's a very interesting study concerning the life of Moses, a man who depended completely upon God, who was spoken of as the meekest of men. Join us next time, and we'll continue these thoughts. Till then, goodbye.